A whole gang of media snoopers, including Jonathan Marks, scans from D.C. to daylight every Thursday here on Radio Netherlands. Their super-duper whopper-doppler-receiver gizmos pick out the essence of what's happening in the world of international broadcasting. Radio Netherlands, we have the technology.
Hello, this is Jonathan Marks via PCJ Online. Just about to push the button on another program from the media network Vintage Radio Archives.
This is the Dutch International Service, Radio Netherlands. Media Network, the weekly communications magazine for shortwave listeners. Produced and presented by Jonathan Marks.
Hello, lots to get in, and we start with some exclusive news. Exclusive because it involves us. As I speak, I'm sitting in a helicopter, together with a colleague from the Dutch PTT, and of course the pilot. We're circling Radio Netherlands' new transmitter site, located on the Flevopolder, about 15 miles north of Hilversum, if you want to check the map. The weather's being kind to us, and below you can clearly see the T-shape antenna complex, with a range of directional antennas set up to broadcast to our target areas. Well, the background noise makes doing an interview up here somewhat trying, so let's first go back to the studio in Hilversum for the shortwave propagation news, recorded from American sources at 0730 UTC this morning.
This is the Space Environment Services Center in Boulder, Colorado. Solar terrestrial indices for 31 October 1984 follow. Solar flux 71 and estimated A index 05. Repeat, solar flux 71 and estimated A index 05. The Boulder K index at 0600 UT on 1 November was 3. Repeat, 3. Solar terrestrial condition for the last 24 hours followed. Solar activity was very low. The geomagnetic field was quiet to unsettled. The forecast for the next 24 hours follows. Solar activity will continue very low. The geomagnetic field will continue unsettled to active.
The helicopter isn't just for the view. It's loaded with a specially designed receiving antenna, a shortwave receiver costing some $10,000, and a microcomputer. But why all this effort and expense? I put it to Dick Batenhuis of the Dutch PTT on site at the Flevo station. Whilst the manufacturers work out their specifications of what the antenna should do on paper, presumably now the construction's up, the idea is to verify everything's working in practice.
Yes, that's what we are doing. We only have the theoretical measurements of the antennas, and now we try to measure the practical diagrams of the antennas. Depending on the sort of antenna, normally we fly on a distance of 2 kilometers, depending on the beam.
Right, you're up.
We measure three. Antenna, the gain of the antenna. Second, we measure the elevation of the antenna beam. And third, we measure the direction, the horizontal beam of the.
Let's try and explain some of those measurements. In order to be effective these days on shortwave, you need to use directional antennas so that as much energy as possible is sent towards the desired target area. If you roll up a piece of paper into a cone and put it next to your ear, sounds from a particular direction sound louder and clearer, even though you've done nothing else to make them louder. Likewise, if you stand in the beam of a directional antenna, you can measure a huge amount of energy. To get that same figure with a non-directional antenna, you'll need a much stronger transmitter, as energy is also going in unwanted directions as well. Directional antennas are therefore said to have a gain, compared to the antenna at Flevo, say, is in the region of 50 megawatts, even though the transmitter itself only puts out 500 kilowatts. Which our analogy to imagine a shortwave antenna, two things are important. First, of course, the direction, and second, the angle the cannon makes with the lower the angle, the farther the bugger. If it's narrow, then only or the antenna, you can reach a large amount of less power. All this, then, is being measured by the antenna team at Flevo. The direction of the beam from each antenna is measured to within 2 degrees. But if you have, say, 20 directional antennas, you can in fact reach more than 20 directions. Modern curtain arrays, as they're called, use an electrical technique to artificially change the direction, rather than physically swinging the antenna about. This is called slewing an antenna, but you can only do it within a limited arc. The flavo antennas can be slewed a maximum of 30 degrees in either direction. So if the antenna normally beams due east, let's say, it can be adjusted to beam anywhere between 60 and 120 degrees on the compass. If you slew the antenna any more than that, then other unwanted beams of energy start to play an important role, and power in the main direction is lost. But antennas aren't perfect. As well as radiating in the wanted direction, a curtain array will also put out some power in the opposite direction. Presumably, then, this is also being measured.
Yes, we are also measuring the back radiation of the antenna. That's very important by a station who has such big transmitters.
So if there's, for example, 500 kilowatts going in the wanted direction, how much is going in the wrong direction, 180 degrees around the compass?
Yes, you can say that by a back radiation of 10 dB, you get 50 kilowatts in the other direction. And we try to have a back radiation of 20 dB. So that means that we send 5 kilowatts to the other direction.
Now, I believe 20 directional antennas here at Flavo. Mm-hmm. Does that mean you simply have to go up in the helicopter and measure each antenna, so 20 measurements?
No, it's much complicated. We have 20 antennas, but every antenna can make more frequency bands. Most of our antennas can make 4 bands, and in every band you have to measure all the slew stands, so you can multiply that, and then you can see what we have to measure here. Now I think we have in total measure 2 bands.
And how is it going? Is everything running according to schedule?
Yes, everything is on schedule. Only 5 antennas until now are not quite up to the specifications.
So you'll probably go up in the helicopter once more?
Yes. When Telefunken has changed the antennas, we measure it again.
Is this normal that you use a helicopter to do measurements actually before you're going on the air?
No, I think here in Flevo it's the first time that from a shortwave station all the antennas have been measured before it's going operational.
Right, I believe you switched the transmitter on with quite a low power, around 20 kilowatts, to do the antenna measurements. Mm-hmm. You fly around then with your helicopter. Mm-hmm. But what do you do with the details that you get? Do you send them via, say, a walkie-talkie system back to the station so they can make some changes, or what?
No. Nowadays we have a microprocessor in the helicopter. The measuring results are going to the microprocessor, and when we have finished our measurements, we can load it into a floppy. After the measurements, we take the floppy out of the disk drive from the helicopter, and we go to another microprocessor we have here in the building, and there we can plot out the diagrams.
Now I've moved to the Frequency Bureau at Radio Netherlands, and with me is Ben Loh, who's head of that department, because our new Flevo transmitter site is going to make a 6-day continuous system test in a few days' time, and we'd like to give you advanced warning. The dates, first of all, are Monday, November the 12th, until Saturday, November the 17th, inclusive.
That's right, but let me stress first of all, Jonathan, that the purpose of this 6-day test period is to fully test all the equipment. That means we will put all four transmitters on the air. We will also deliberately shut one down in the middle of a program to see whether the reserve transmitter takes over properly. Likewise with antennas. So there may be breaks in transmission. We also want to put the transmitters under severe tests by swapping frequently from high to low bands. As we want to reduce interference to other stations to a minimum, a number of the test frequencies won't propagate out of Holland at all.
But some will. And there'll be two types of test transmission. First, during some English transmissions, our Flevo transmitter site will simply take over an existing frequency from our aging Lopik transmitter site. We're naturally curious to know whether you can hear any difference. For some time now, we've been running a test transmission to North America between 2330 and 0630 UTC on the frequency of 9895 kHz, 9895. During the test period, this will come from Flevo instead of Lopik. Between 0330 and 0530, that's 0330 to 0530 UTC, a second Flevo transmitter, again on 9895 kHz, 9895, will be used to send the same program in the direction of the Middle East. Later in the day, between 07 and 0720, 07 to 0720 UTC, 5955 kHz in the 49-meter band, 5955, will come from Flevo instead of Lopik, and that's intended for Europe. But of particular interest will be reception reports on the frequency of 6020 kHz, 6020, at 1830 UTC, 1830, from listeners in Europe. The power will then be 500 kilowatts instead of the present 10.
Our Flevo transmitter site will also be putting out special test tapes in a variety of languages. All test transmissions will have a length of 25 minutes. I will mention some of the more interesting frequencies that may propagate. First, for listeners in North America, 6020 kHz, 6020 kHz, will be used between 0030 and 0330 UTC. 0030 and 0330. Between 0430 and 0600, 0430 and 0600, we will have a test to the Middle East on 11945 kHz, 11945 kHz. Between 0630 and 0700 UTC, 0630 and 0700, listeners in North and West Africa may like to check 9895, 9630 and 6020 kHz for us. That's 9895, 9630 and 6020 kHz.
Now, if you live in Asia, we'd like reports on the following frequencies. 21570 kHz. That's 21570 kHz in the 13-meter band, will be used between 13 and 1330 hours, and again between 14 and 15 hours UTC. That was 21570 kHz. Also, between 1430 and 15 hours only, 1430 to 15 hours only, look for us on 11915 kHz. That's 11915 kHz in the 25-meter band. If you live in either southeast or southwest Europe, we'd like you to monitor 11730 kHz. That's 11730 kHz in the 25-meter band between 16 and 1630 UTC. Then, at 17 hours UTC, we'll also make a 25-minute test to the Middle East on 11720 kHz, 11720 kHz. And finally, in this long list, for listeners in West Africa, between 20 and 2030 hours UTC, 20 and 2030 hours UTC, look for us on these frequencies, 15560, 15380 and 11865 kHz. Once again, that's 15560, 15380 and 11865 kHz.
You'll certainly know by listening whether you are listening to a test transmission from Flevo, and a special address will be announced. If you'd like to help us, it's most important that you note the date, time and frequency accurately. We also need honest opinions about reception quality. If it is bad, say so, for there may be a deliberate reason. If you note any changes in the reception quality while a transmission is on the air, then put these details down as well, together with a description of your shortwave receiver and antenna.
Finally, we'd like you to listen on more than one day, if possible. The dates, again, are between Monday, November 12th and Saturday, November 17th, inclusive, and by doing that, you'll reduce the effects of propagation conditions. And incidentally, there's no guarantee that these test frequencies will be used for normal programming in the future.
Next from the Netherlands, Info Dutch. Information of direct use to computer hobbyists.
En de prijswinnaar is, naar onze mening, het boek Basic Code 2. Die publicatie is verschenen in het kader van het radioprogramma Hobbyscope. Wij vonden dit boek erg goed.
That was the sound of a prize-giving ceremony in Amsterdam on Monday afternoon for the 1984 ELPEC Award. ELPEC is the Electronic Press Association here in the Netherlands, and each year they give a prize for what they consider to be the best work in the area of consumer electronics. This year the prize went to the developers of Basic Code 2, the computer Esperanto for hobby computers, now being used in a number of countries around the world, especially for broadcast use. This is now a joint project between the Dutch Domestic Service, NOS, and Radio Netherlands, the Dutch International Service.
Meanwhile, if all this computer technology jargon is difficult to follow, there's a new book out from an English publisher called Computer Terminology Explained. For a cover price of £1.95, you get a glossary of some 76 pages of terms you'll find in home computing. The author, I.D. Poole, has gone to considerable trouble to explain terms in simple English, plus there's a table of ASCII codes and control codes. Nice piece of work. Computer Terminology Explained is available in bookshops or via Bernard Barbany Limited, The Grampians, Shepherd's Bush Road, London, W67NF, England.
And that address is also in Radio Netherlands' book list. Now, for other news, over to our listener answer line, 3135 18700.
Hello, my name is Jos Bertels and I live in Hasselt, Belgium. Today, Sunday 28th of October, I heard from 11 to 12 hours UTC a broadcast from a station that you mentioned earlier this year. It is called WRLI, or Wonderful Radio London International. I do not think they broadcast from a ship, because they said, this is a shortwave relay of KXOL, featuring Wonderful Radio London. They also mentioned the voice of Free Gospel. By the way, the next broadcast is next Saturday at 6 hours UTC, and the frequency is 6239.8 kHz.
It appears the programmes which announce Wonderful Radio London International are certainly not coming from a ship in the North Sea. An English pirate station, East Coast Commercial, is simply airing copies of tapes made in London, in fact, for legitimate use in North America. Earlier this year, you may remember, we spoke to John England, the leader of a project to put the former offshore radio station, Radio London, back on the air from a ship in the North Sea. So what's the story? He came on the line a little while ago, and I asked him, well, since they said they'd be back on the air on August the 14th and nothing has happened, where to next?
Well, a very good question. As you probably have heard, we did in actual fact come back on the air on August the 14th from XCRF, which is the equivalent in one sense of Radio Luxembourg in Europe to North America. And it's known as a border blaster. It's the station where Wolfman Jack got his original start. And we began with a 15-minute program, five nights a week, Monday through Friday, from midnight till 15 minutes after midnight, recorded at our studios in London, England.
XCRF, of course, is in Mexico.
It's at Ciudad Acuña, Coahuila, Mexico, and it's just across the border from Del Rio, Texas. We are working on a plan with XCRF, for one thing, to turn the 15-minute program, and this is by no means certain at the moment, but we are actually working on it, into an actual four-hour broadcast nightly from midnight till 4 in the morning, so that XCRF will become Radio London in the same way that Transworld Radio, or rather Monte Carlo, becomes Transworld Radio in Europe.
The organisation split itself into two clear identities now. One is the music-orientated Wonderful Radio London International. The second is an organisation called Voice of the Free Gospel, which plans to use a second transmitter on board the same vessel, called the Four Freedoms, for religious programmes. That ship does exist. So when does the project start?
We made several statements in the press which have not changed. At the same time we started on XCRF, we revised our plans and aimed at December the 24th. And as of this moment, those plans have not changed. However, the key to the whole thing is basically, can we sell out all of the time by that date? Now, if we can't, then we're going to revise the plan yet again, because that is the key. While a lot of people may desire to hear a radio station commercial-free, as far as a business venture is concerned, it means that nobody's going to get paid, and of course, sooner or later, the station's going to have to go off the air. And that's not our intention at all. So as soon as we are in a situation where the time has been sold, the station will literally go on the air. And the plan is to test the transmitters off the coast of South America, to sail to England, and drop anchor, and begin broadcasting, and not to conduct any tests whatsoever in Europe. So the first sounds you should hear in Europe will be actual broadcasts.
Have you actually decided frequencies yet?
Yes, we have. It will be AM and shortwave.
There is definitely shortwave.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
John England. Remember, a number of other organisations in the United States were due to come on the air about now too, also on shortwave. Well, in the coming weeks, we'll be catching up on the background news on these stations too. Meanwhile, in Asia, Radio Bangladesh's new transmitters have come on the air. They've been built with the assistance of French technicians and finance. At present, there's a Voice of Islam programme in English between 08 and 08:30 hours UTC on 21460 and this one, 17670 kHz, which we recorded yesterday.
1400 hours Bangladesh time, that is 08 hours Greenwich Mean Time. Voice of Islam.
Late in the day, Radio Bangladesh is also on the air between 18:15 and 19:15 hours UTC on 7355 and 5915 kHz, also beamed to Europe. Yesterday's tragic killing of Mrs. Gandhi was interesting from a media point of view. Some hours after the assassination was being flashed worldwide, All India Radio was still announcing that she was in a critical condition.
An attempt was made on the right of the Prime Minister, Mrs. Indira Gandhi, at her New Delhi residence this morning. She was immediately rushed to the All India Institute of Medical Sciences, where doctors...
All India Radio waited for an official announcement from the government later in the day. In case you'd like to follow developments, All India Radio is best heard between 10 and 11 hours UTC on 17387 kHz, 17387, and in the evenings here in Europe, 1745 up to 2230 UTC on 11620, 9912 or 7255 kHz, 11620 being the best. Back to the answer line, for several listeners have commented on the fact that, as well as carrying the odd commercial for American products, the music radio ship in the North Sea, Laser 558, has been heard with a British commercial this week. It's for a national bank.
Now a special announcement for budding rock stars. There's a competition being run for the music departments of schools in Britain. If you can produce two songs, one of which must be an original composition, you can win valuable prizes and be recorded for BBC Radio. It's called the TSB Bank Rock School Competition, and we've been asked by them to tell you about it.
So did the TSB ask Laser to air that commercial? We called the TSB in London, and a spokesman told us...
The situation is that we have not asked them under any circumstances to use any advertising from us. What happened was that they were inadvertently put onto the press release list of our rock school competition. We have latterly asked them to stop and to refrain from using this press release.
Meanwhile, supporters of local community radio are watching a conference that began this Monday in Geneva, Switzerland, and will last for the next 6 weeks. It's a meeting of national telecommunication authorities from Europe, Africa and the Middle East about the FM-VHF portion of the radio dial. It's a World Administrative Radio Conference again. Many countries cannot use the full 88 to 108 megahertz section available on most radios these days because police and aircraft facilities use frequencies usually above 100 megahertz. The Dutch delegation is hoping that the space from 105 to 108 megahertz will be reserved in future for low-power community stations, with the idea of several hundred, even in a small country like the Netherlands. So far, Belgium, West Germany, France, Luxembourg and Britain seem to have similar proposals to the Dutch. Now, for media news from the Pacific, here's Arthur Cushion.
Radio New Zealand's shortwave service is now using a new schedule and it's operating for morning, lunch hour and evening transmissions to the Pacific and also to Australia, Papua New Guinea. And the new schedule is operating on 9620 kHz and that transmission is broadcasting between 0915 and 1115 and the frequency of 15485 and 17705 kHz is operating 1745 to 2015, 2245 to midnight 15, 0245 to 0630. And that, of course, is also on the other channel of 17705 and 15485. The reason for the changes is the fact that Radio New Zealand traditionally broadcast from 1800 through to 1215 UTC, but now we are in summertime in New Zealand. Daylight time means that transmissions are heard 1 hour earlier. Papua New Guinea. The new move to the 90-metre band by stations in Papua New Guinea from 120 metres is taking place. 3315 kHz replacing 2428 kHz for Radio Manus, and this station has been heard testing around 1830, sign-on is 1900. Solomons. The Solomon Islands Broadcasting Corporation, 1900 to 1300 UTC, now on regular transmission. The station signs off on 5020 at 1300, and here is part of the sign-off announcement.
You have been listening to the Solomon Islands Broadcasting Corporation Radio Happy Hours. We have been transmitting on 1035 kHz in the medium wave band and on shortwave frequencies of 5020 kHz and 9545 kHz in the 60 and 31 meter bands. Our regional stations, Radio Happy Lagoon at Gizo in the Western Province, broadcasts on 945 kHz in the medium wave band, and Radio Temotu at Lata in Temotu Province broadcasts on 1386 kHz in the medium wave band. We are now closing down for today, but we shall resume transmission tomorrow.
That recording was supplied by Martin Hadlow of the Solomon Islands Broadcasting Corporation and is a new sign-off announcement recorded at 1300 UTC on 5020 kHz. Saipan. KFBS Saipan now uses two 100 kilowatt transmitters and the third transmitter is now on site. It's expected to commence operation shortly. It arrived on October 3 and this week should see the test transmissions of the third 100 kilowatt transmitter. Meanwhile, in Manila, FEBC is using 10 kilowatts now on the frequency of 21475 kHz. Afghanistan, an interesting English broadcast from Radio Afghanistan, 7310 kHz. The broadcast is 1900 to 1927. Fair reception, though jamming is evident at some occasions. They're also using two other frequencies, 9665 and 11805 kHz. Thailand, the broadcast from Bangkok, 9650 replacing 9655, have noted with English news at 1130. The transmission is audible as soon as Radio Nederland Bonaire leaves the frequency at 11:25 UTC.
So let's start doing that. More on publications and flavour next week. So this is Jonathan Marks saying back soon. Bye for now.
Contributions to Media Network, Box 222, Hilversum, the Netherlands.
And that's where we end this nostalgic trip back into the Media Network audio archives from 1981 to October 2000. If you find all this stuff interesting, you might want to explore the Critical Distance website, where you can find more vintage audio shows, but also peruse recent video interviews I've made in the course of my travels around the world. Some of the videos actually follow up on points raised in the Media Network programme. So zip over to www.jonathanmarks.com for more details. In the meantime, this is Jonathan Marks saying back soon. Bye for now.